Where in the world is that gold mine, and why haven't you found it yet? That's the question often for many of us. Gold mine is right here and right here and in between. And that link that we all have as individuals into that infinite we call consciousness, that infinite that we call mind of God and mind of spirit and the wholeness of all of it. And that's a real gold mine that we can plumb and dig into and find great value and goodness in. So, such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, and so it is. That life is the gold. That life is the gift we're given. So, welcome. We are the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, and we are excited. I am excited to be here, as every day, as every Sunday. It's great to see you. It's great to have you all with us, whether you're sitting in the room or out there in internet land. We used to say TV land, but that's not quite effective anymore, or true. So internet land. So welcome. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I hope you have a few moments now for us in order to really listen into your own mind and your own heart. We're going to begin today differently in that I'm going to offer a very brief grounding, centering spiritual mind treatment. So I invite you to join me, if you will, in knowing this together. There is one power, one infinite intelligence, one universal love, one universal life, and it is flowing through us into the world, through us into our lives, informing, guiding, allowing the great truth and freedom that we are. Knowing this, I settle into this time together, recognizing that I am spending time on my own mind, my own life, my own knowing. And in doing that, I'm investing hugely in everything I am and all those around me. I let this be my truth. I let it be so, and so it is. If you are new to our center or you're new to this broadcast, know that we are a place where people are honored. All people are honored, whatever your background, whatever your politics, whatever your individual idea of yourself, whatever your pronouns, whatever your ethnicities, all of those things, we honor them because they're all expressions of this divine life. And since we say quite clearly that we are an expression of the divine, how could we do anything but honor who you are and honor what you're bringing forward and bringing forth into the world? So welcome, glad you're with us, glad you're here. To know a little more about what we believe, listen now to some of our board members and practitioners as they share with you our Declaration of Principles. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe
in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. And he's back. Thank you. So, joy. We're talking about springing forth, and as of today, we're springing forth into joy. Tomorrow, we spring forth into the real spring, but for now, it's springing forth into joy. For last week, we were on the quest you were on, so each Sunday this month, we're talking about springing forth into something. Ernest Holmes says in the Living the Science of Mind that this is a religion of joy. Which I think is interesting, because we often tend to be so serious, myself included. I'm not sure that when people describe me, they would say he's a joyful person. They might say he's a serious person. He's a person who takes things very seriously and what have you. Caring, compassionate, perhaps. Joyful, maybe not so much. And that's okay, because we all see through our own lenses. And because joy is that one of those elusive things. It's kind of like self-esteem. If you try to get better self-esteem, you don't get anywhere. But if you work on your issues about self-worth and value, and you bring more loving expression experiences to the world, your self-esteem begins to grow naturally and normally, and it becomes greater. So joy is like that. You can't work on it. You can't make more of it. Now, you can make more happiness. People do all kinds of things to try to make more happiness. I mean, we look for all kinds of things. We gather them to us, and we buy them. We drink them. My joy in the morning is coffee. You know, we find those things out there that will make us think we're in joy and try to create more joy. But when in reality, all any of that does, if it brings joy at all to us, is it awakens the joy that's already within us. Because joy is a gift. Joy is an inside-outside job. And joy is that thing which is such a nebulous, almost indescribable experience. It's more than a feeling. It is happiness. Happiness is part of joy. You all know that feeling. I do too. We have these happy moments. We have these moments where we're like, wow, we're just over the top happy. I have an amazing granddaughter, which every morning when I pick her up in the car to go to school, she is bubbling. Well, not every morning. Most mornings, she is bubbling with joy. You just feel it. You see it. And it's fun to be around her at that time of day. I'm not so much in the morning. It's a little later in the day, yes, but not right then. So we know that feeling of happiness. But joy is more than happiness. It goes beyond happiness. It is much deeper in the sense that it is a given. You're born with it. It is a part of your very nature, because it is part of the divine. This divine idea of the infinite consciousness, Thomas Troward says that joy is one of those gifts of life, that life is coming through each and every one of us. Joy is one of those ways it does it, and joy is one of those expressions. So it doesn't do a whole lot good to look for it out there if we're trying to look for it and get it, kind of like love. It's not a commodity. You can't go get it and buy it, despite what all the advertising tells you. But you can recognize it out there because it resonates with who we are and some part of us on the inside. There are lots of things written about joy. There are tons of books. Oh, man, you know the books. Joy of food, the joy of cooking, the joy of this, the joy of that, the joy of sex, the joy of no sex, on and on and on it goes. Everybody's written a book about, not everybody, but many people have written books about joy. And you can find all kinds of things on Amazon and everywhere else. And that's wonderful, because it's something we know is trying to come through all of us. And yet we are also bombarded with all the opposite of that. So I would like to suggest a few ideas about joy. One of them is that joy is this deep awareness we have of the synchronicities and the connectedness of life. You know, when you meet someone, you don't know if you maybe for the first time, and you talk a little bit, and you find something in common, and there's a click, things clunk together, and you go, oh, wow. And inside, you feel some joy about the fact that you have something in common. You see people gather together in large groups. I mean, we are cluster people. We are humans that must have that connection and that stuff of being together. And when we get together, that feeling of joy is just natural. It's a natural response. There's some joy in it somewhere. I remember the Ren and Stimpy cartoons, one of my favorite. Those of you who've been around the planet a few times may remember them. And one of my favorites of those was a cartoon, because they were short cartoons for adults on YouTube, I think, or I don't remember where we were seeing them back in the day, but we were seeing them. And Stimpy was the grumpy one of the two. Red was always positive, and he was so happy, and everything was going to be fine. And Stimpy was just not. All he could see was the bleakness of life. So Ren invented a hat called the Happy Hat. And it was an electronic thing, and he could put it on Stimpy or whoever might be his victim at the time, and all they could feel is joy and happiness. And if they started to get grumpy, he'd just turn the knob and they'd get happier and happier and happier. And all poor Stimpy could ever feel was joy and happiness, and happiness and joy and joy and happiness. And things were terrible. And things were getting hurt, and he was getting hurt. But it didn't matter. He was happy. Well, needless to say, that backfired because he finally burned the thing out. And both of them were ready for something besides happy, happy, joy, joy. Because we all know joy is not just about that kind of happy happiness. It's not just about pretending the things that are happening in our lives aren't happening, or the things happening in the world aren't happening. You don't have to pretend about those things in order to experience joy. And that's what Ren learned in that cartoon. You see, we are wired. We are hardwired for joy. And there's been all sorts of research on the brain lately that tells us that. That it's natural. It's a natural phenomenon, which is why we so often, in the midst of the hardest and most painful things, find joy, much to everyone's surprise. You know? Have you ever got the giggles in the funeral? Yeah, I have. Once or twice sitting up front and trying to look serious. Wasn't easy. It's always a place in there for a giggle. God's a giggle. One of my first ever talks in this teaching. You know, it's those little things that pop up and show us joy in the midst of pain. And sometimes in our very depth, once we've expressed the pain and the hurt, the joy can pop through and comes through. Not because there's something wrong with us, but because there's something right with us. We're hardwired to return to joy over and over again. Wonderful book, a wonderful experience. In 2015, dating myself, the Dalai Lama and Bishop Tutu, one from the East, the other from the West. He was a bishop in the Anglican Church, and he was the bishop of South Africa, got together to have a conversation about joy. Now, these are world leaders. You probably know both names. If you don't, look them up. You should know about both of them. They had a conversation, a week-long conversation about joy. And out of that came a book called The Book of Joy, Lasting Happiness in the Changing World. It is profound. I encourage you to consider it, especially since with what we have just gone through, what we're going through now, and the transitions in the world and the change to all whole new ways of being together that we haven't experienced before. It's a great book to take a look at that. And they said there are basically three things that contribute to joy. There's the ability to reframe things in the positive. Having the personal ability, which we all have, to reframe. And, you know, we can take things and reframe them in the positive, or we can reframe them in other ways. But the ability to reframe them in the positive. And they go on to talk a great deal about reframing and getting a different and larger perspective. And when you look at a small situation from this kind of narrow place, it can look very painful and very difficult. But when you look at it in a larger way, in a larger and yet a larger way, often it becomes less of a problem. Like the little bug I talk about a lot, that lands on the rug and lands on the red spot. And when he's on the red spot, all he sees is red, and he's upset and he's angry and he's whatever. And he crawls away from that a little ways and ends up on blue and gets really depressed. And then he's really depressed and things get bad. But when he flies and lifts up, he sees the whole pattern and recognizes that good, bad, joy, sadness, all of those things are part of a mosaic of life that allow us to experience all of its varies and varieties. And then whatever you're in is not so much about being stuck in it as it is about recognizing by rising above it, not denying it, not pretending it's not there and didn't exist, but by being in it. Another element that contributes to joy is gratitude. A lot of gratitude. Thank you, Lee Huffman, one of our practitioners, sent me an email this week and said something along the line of, it was actually from an Instagram, that this guy is talking to two of his proteges, a very wealthy man, and says that, hey, I'll give you each $10 billion. Needless to say, they're jumping out of their skin, because apparently this person has the means with which to do that. And they're like, whoa, we'll take it. Yes, yes, yes. And then he says, oh, but there's a catch. You can't wake up tomorrow. Your life will end in the morning. Do you still want the $10 million? And of course, the answer is no, absolutely not. And then he says, so waking up in the morning is worth $10 million or more to you. Gratitude. Gratitude for waking up in the morning. How many of us wake up with this, oh God, it's another day. I gotta meet all of my stuff. I gotta get everything done. I gotta make sure I have enough money for the next 3 weeks. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I gotta get my do list down. I gotta take care of all my responsibilities. I gotta. Whereas just a moment in the morning, gratitude for the day, gratitude for being alive, and then allowing that gratitude to spark the joy that's within us can be very powerful and a very great way to start the day. So, another part of that is, and this comes more from the Dalai Lama, is to choose to be kind. Just choosing to be kind can bring you great joy. Being kind to one another, to another person, being kind to somebody. The place where I have the biggest challenge for that is driving. Being kind to the person that wants to get ahead of me in the line, and it's like, people that ride with me will confess, will testify that, you know, I have some challenges there. Kindness is let them in. Kindness is let them go first. Kindness is the 3 seconds I'm going to lose in my busyness to let someone else who's driving have the way in. But you know, there's a lot of joy in that, because you realize, hey, I let those people in. I did something not kind, and now my life is still just fine. I still got where I was going. I still did that. Same thing is true in all the things. I mean, those are silly little examples, but they're not, because those little things explode into big things in our worlds and in our lives. If we get in the habit of kindness, we get in the habit of expressing joy. Wow. Yeah. Habits. Good habits. One of the quotes from that meeting, from the book, says, you know, there are always going to be frustrations in our lives. Someone said before we started today, you know, there's just always pain. Well, yeah, there is. There always is. But how we respond to those things is what matters. No amount of oppression, no amount of or occupation by other peoples or by other people into our world can take away our freedom to choose our response. We know some of the great books on freedom have been written by folks in prisons who have been there for causes that they believed in. Some of the great ideas of freedom have come from people who seemed to be incarcerated at the time or in camps, encampments. And those are those powerful words that let us and remind us that nothing on the outside can block our joy or block our freedom unless we allow it or invite it in some way. So there are 8 pillars of joy, they say. 8 pillars that sort of all joy stands on. And when I say that, I mean all joy within us that gets recognized more clearly with these 8 pillars. I mean, the joy is there. It's us learning what it is and learning how to see it and say it and recognize it and carry it with us wherever we go. Perspective, being able to see things from a different angle, is one of the pillars of joy. Humility. I tried to look humble and modest. That's not what we're talking about. Humility simply means I'm not alone here. And I require all of us and all of you, that simple power of the connections between us. None of us can survive in isolation for very long. That's why the most horrible imprisonment, punishment is solitary confinement. Because a person literally goes crazy after a short time and does not make it in those situations over a long period of time. Another place for joy is laughter and humor. Another pillar of joy is acceptance. See, acceptance is not resignation. Acceptance is saying, this is what is right now, and I'm going to accept the truth of it where I am, knowing that that is the beginning of change. I love the 12-step programs because they say they are a program of acceptance. But not resignation by any means, because accepting things in that very first step says, and therefore from here I go to greater and more. But I got to start where I am. And I got to be really truthful with myself about where I am with anything in any given moment. After acceptance, there's forgiveness. Because part of accepting where we are may also be accepting that we've done some things and some things are happening in our lives that aren't okay. We've done or they've done to us. But to return to joy is forgiveness. The letting go of holding on to the hurt long past the point where it serves us in any way. So we forgive. Gratitude is the next flow of that. I mean, you fall right into gratitude out of a sense of wonderment, gratitude for forgiveness, gratitude for all that's around, gratitude for getting up in the morning. And after gratitude is compassion. Now, these aren't necessarily happening in our lives in an order, but these are all things on which our awareness of our joy rests. Compassion, wanting to be and become more compassionate people. Kindness is the place to start with that. And generosity, giving what we have, not what we don't have. Used to be an interesting thing when I was younger and was learning about a lot of spiritual practices that somehow it seemed like you were always supposed to give what you didn't have or what you wish you had. Like tithing, like those things where you're supposed to give up something in order to be okay, to be happy. Generosity is giving what you're filled with already generosity is being filled with love and joy or whatever you're filled with and sharing it with others. Because you know what? In the world of oneness, you're going to share it anyway because you're full and filled with these ideas and these thoughts and these places to be. So that compassion, wonderment, all of these things fall together. So at this point is where I had planned on taking us into a place where I find great joy, which is a spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer. Now, that's before I knew we had a practitioner here prepared to do our treatment this morning. Would you be okay with coming to do that now? And this is a miscommunication on my part. I was informed, and I didn't know I was informed. So joy is being able to turn this loose and not have to do it all myself. With joy and ease, I bring welcome to our stage and to your enjoyment, Judy Ailey, as she comes to treat for us, and not only for each of us individually, but for us as a community, as we move now into a joyful expression, because the real source of joy is that oneness. And spiritual mind treatment takes us into that oneness in a way that hardly anything else does. So, Judy? Is this okay?
Okay.
Good. Hey, everybody. I guess my email just didn't make it through the ethers or whatever yesterday, but I'm glad to be back up here. And I like this topic of joy. And anyway, so join with me right now and accept this treatment for yourself as I do it for myself in the first person. All right. Let's just take this time to know that God is all there is, that this presence and this power, this spirit, this love, this goodness, this peace, and this joy are everywhere present in throughout the universe, and they are present also in me. And I know for myself that inside of me is this spiritual perfection, this perfection that is deserving of every good thing. And it's not deserving because I've done anything or accomplished anything great in my life. I am totally and completely deserving as a spiritual being created by this presence that we call spirit. So as I know my spiritual perfection and my deservingness of every good thing, I know that my life expresses as great health, as joy, as beauty, as love, as peace, as abundance, and that it is infinite in the possibility of embracing life in a greater way. So I just sink into that and know that that's the truth of who I am. I am in the flow of divine goodness always. And as I know this, I just am grateful. I am grateful that I can put my requests out into the world, that I take the time to do this, that I put the things that I desire out to the one mind, to life, to spirit, to know that as I make my requests, that they are acted upon, that this power, this presence, that there is nothing too big, no problem too hard, no illness too great for this presence and this power to completely transform, completely heal, completely express as great joy, great peace, and great love. So we just turn away from any idea of frustration, of lack, of limitation at all. We turn away from any idea that we are victims of anything. We turn away from looking at just the appearances of things in the world. And instead, we embrace the truth behind it all, the truth that there is a power for good in the universe, and it is greater than the appearance of anything other than this. I also know for this center, this CSL Midtown, that this is a center that teaches truth, that is a place for people to come to transform their lives, is a place to learn and to grow, and it is a community of love, of peace, and of joy. And I just affirm that this center has all that it needs to flourish, to grow, and to be a great expression and an outlet for spirit in the world. So I'm just grateful for being here today, grateful for the message that Bob has given us about the joy that is in each one of us. And as we tap into that sense of knowing that all is well in our lives, that really everything is going to be okay. As we know that and can rest in that, and that peace and assurance of that, that joy sparks from that place of sense of security and knowing. So I'm grateful for this. I release his words now, knowing that they are powerful and knowing that they are so, and so it is.
Thank you, Judy. So, one of my earliest, I have two lessons to share with you, or two experiences that are my early experiences of joy in the middle of chaos. One was when I was young, very young, my stepfather had a heart attack. And he was in a good deal of pain. As the pain subsided, and he went to the hospital and he was getting treatment, and he was kind of took care of the immediate emergency. Then there was this time of recovery and what have you. And that's when I showed up, because I wasn't right there when it happened. And I went in as he was talking with his doctor and one of the nurses. And you would have thought it was a love fest, because all he was doing was poking fun at all of them, including the nurse. He was flirting with her mercilessly, and she was like two-thirds of his age. And then the doc he was making fun of him, and did he really know what he's doing, and on, everybody's laughing. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. In the midst of all of this trauma, he's making fun of him. And my other experience that I'm going to share with you is later in college. I had the unexpected experience of being in a busload of college kids going up into the mountains in North Carolina to enjoy a picnic. Our whole choir was in that. Well, there were three busloads, but our particular bus is the one I was interested in, because I was sitting on the second row behind the driver. And as we were coming down this hill, I noticed the driver wasn't slowing down, and there were cars in front of us, and there was a solid wall on the right side and a drop off on the left, and he wasn't slowing down, and there was oncoming traffic. And I thought, what are we going to do? And then I realized he's pumping the brake. He's got his foot going as hard as he can to pump the brake, and it didn't matter, because he couldn't stop because the brakes had broken. So we ended up veering off of the road to the left, fortunately, because if we'd hit the wall, that would have been disaster. And if we'd hit the cars in front of us, it would have been worse, or the oncoming traffic. So his decision was, the safest place is to take to the sky. So we did. Off we went. And as we tumbled literally down the bank, the bus sort of aligned itself to not to flip end over end, but just to roll. And we rolled, and I watched as seats were flying in all directions and people. And then I saw the corner of the bus right up at opposite me, crinkling up, and me headed toward it. And I hit it. And that's the last thing I remembered for a while. I woke up, and here's all these college kids piled in the bottom of this bus in the creek at the bottom of the ravine. And the front window had popped out. I could see that. I could kind of see over. I realized I was on top of two people, so I tried to rearrange myself so my knee wasn't quite in the person's stomach. And then from the way in the back of the bus, everybody, it was total silence. There was no screaming. There was no excitement of that sort. But from way in the back of the bus, somebody said, "What's black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow? School bus rolling down a hill." And we all started to laugh. And that moment of laughter and joy that broke through that horrible time just really set there was never any yelling and screaming. We all laughed, and some of us got the giggles so bad we laughed really hard because we were so full of adrenaline and everything that was breaking loose. And by then, the people from the other bus had gotten to us, and they basically helped everyone get up, walk out the front window of the bus, which now that it was on its side was a perfect doorway. And we walked out, and we stepped on cushions to get through the little shallow creek and back up the hill to the rest of our day, and we still went on our picnic. I am convinced, had that person not said that, it would have been a very different experience for all of us. See, there is that within us which can break through any experience and find the joy that is within us, but it often takes something out there to bring our attention to it and to bring us back to it. So I shall always celebrate him for that silliness. As it turned out, he was one of the two people that was really injured in the whole thing. And yet he was the one that brought us through it. So know that this joy lasts within you. It's the recognition of a joy in yourself and in somebody else that can enliven us to such a great extent. So as we feel these joys, as we experience them, we celebrate. This is God in us living its very best expression of life. Because you're wonderful. And so am I. So it is. Yes. Thank you. And it is absolutely my joy to bring Vince to talk to us about what we talk about, prosperity, and to share with us something about how you may support the center. You know, we are a center that teaches basic principles, and we are going to continue doing that. And we need your support. We require your support. We don't need it. We can require your support to continue doing this in a greater and greater, more expansive way. And so Vance is going to tell you some more about how to do that. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. Great talk on joy today. I see everybody smiling. It's awesome. Mm. The joy of giving, right?
Yeah.
Joy of giving. We've got an opportunity now. You can donate online, CSL Midtown. There's a donate button there. There's a QR code that'll pop up in a second. And if you're here in the room, there's a basket in the back to give your donation to. So if you will, with me, say our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And if you haven't already, on our YouTube channel, follow the channel, like us on Facebook, spread the word. And that will really attract more people to this wonderful teaching. And then I will give it back to Dr. Bob.
All right. Cool. Ah. So next week, we're going to talk about freedom. Spring forth into freedom. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to have you here. Remember, on Tuesdays, if you need a boost happens on Tuesdays at noon. Tune in on Zoom, and you find all that information on the website. We will be there at 12 o'clock for a short period of time where people share their experiences, their desires, their requests for treatment, and some good ideas, and then we give the boost of a spiritual mind treatment. Let's see, that's it for this week as far as new announcements. There will be a new class starting, but it's not yet formalized or formed up in my consciousness, so I'm waiting for the right inspiration to move me in the right direction. So if you have a request, out there or in here, something you'd like to look at more or study more. I encourage you to do that. If you want to get that book, I encourage you to do that as well, because it is the Book of Joy. I found it to be absolutely wonderful to read through. Bishop Tutu was here in Atlanta. He's been very much a part of Atlanta life. He was here in the early 90s, and he was again near around the year, around 2008, 2010. He taught at Emory University. I had the joy of I was in one of his classes, but I was in a couple of his seminars. The thing I remember about him the most is that wherever he went, he was always laughing. He was always being silly and joyful and fun. And that was when apartheid was at its, just before, when it was at its worst, just before it broke. But he was right here teaching us and working remotely with South Africa, then went back to really take that over to the next level. So consider it. Good book, worth reading. All right, I think we're complete. Let's close with our affirmation, which we use, and it is, I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a better way, knowing that within me, everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Have a wonderful week, everyone.